Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, everyone. This is Samara Luna.
And this is Raven Dahl.
And this is the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area, creating space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community, things we think the pagan community should know or be talking about. So in tonight's show is our Chasing Squirrels episode, where we just talk about current events and things going on. So, and to see wherever the chat, whatever our conversation takes us. So Ravenfire is here, and we have been missing for the last couple weeks. Just a lot going on in real life.
There's a lot of real life stuff going on. I know for our listeners, for those of you who don't know, this Weird Road has left our network. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on in, like, our real lives.
Right, and this Weird Road has, I mean, I'm sure you all have noticed that this Weird Road hasn't been on lately, and they're taking a hiatus. Not sure if they're going to come back to the network, but if you want to follow them, go ahead and follow them. They are on Facebook, but they are, as of right now, no longer on the network, just to let everybody know.
Right.
So, and I do want to warn people, so I've been debating on when I was going to announce this. But I'm going to be going to grad school, and unfortunately one of my classes is on Thursday night, so Ravenfire and I are trying to work out what we're going to do because I'm taking a full load. So we are working with the station manager about what to do, so we do know we're not going to be doing a show on Thursday. We do not know yet when our show will be done. Yeah. So we're not sure, right, because I have online classes too, and unfortunately there's no set time for those that I know of, but that could change, so I'm waiting to, you know, get my stuff and figure out what's going on. It starts the 20th, so next week we will be having a show. We may have to take a short break until we get things figured out as far as when we will be doing the show after that, if it will be on a different day, if we will be going to 2 days a week. Or if we will be pre-recording most of them, we'll figure that out. So I just want to let everyone know that probably the week of the 20th, we will be going on a hiatus ourselves. So there will not be a show the 23rd. We will be posting on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y, and also on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, when we will be back and what day we will be on. So watch those Facebook pages for that announcement. So I'm sorry. I was trying to get more definitive answers before I made any announcements, but I figure it's getting so close that I better go ahead and say something.
Yeah, it's coming down to the wire. And that is awesome.
Yeah.
You're in graduate school. And what you're in graduate
yes,
school.
Yes, I'm going to be going for mental health counseling. So eventually, I'd like to focus on people that have ADD since I was diagnosed as an adult of having ADD, and there's at least locally, there's not a lot of therapists that work with adults with ADD. Most are adolescents and children. Eventually, I know it.
ADD is not supposed to screw you up as an adult.
Right. It's not supposed to, you know, come in when you become an adult. It's supposed to, you know, just be childhood, and then you have all of childhood to learn how to deal with it. But when you have mild ADD and never diagnosed and then have a major surgery that changes your body chemistry and it exacerbates the ADD and all of a sudden you have really bad ADD, that kind of screws with you.
Or you were diagnosed at age 3 and just you're still in your 40s and taking Adderall, you know.
Yeah, that too. So, and not all the same stuff works for us. See, there used to be like, oh, you should do this, 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 and this, and it'll help your ADD. No, that doesn't work. And they're starting to learn that everyone with ADD reacts differently to different therapy and to different organization, you know, all that. So I think this is something that is needed.
Well, and
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, you know, both of you and I, we both have ADD, but yet our study habits are completely different.
Oh yeah, and you have hyperactivity. I don't. I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah. Well, and I have to have my TV, my music, and about 15 other things going while I'm trying to study for something.
Yeah, and see, I can't do that because then I get distracted.
Right. Yeah, but you're primary inattentive. I'm primary hyperactive, so.
Right. So, yeah, I find myself listening to the music if I even got music playing. But the silence drives me nuts. But if I have anything playing, I can't concentrate on trying to read or study. So it's like I have to find some kind of middle ground. Probably some music that doesn't have words will probably be. I'll be behind playing classical music while I'm studying, probably.
Hey, Amon Amarth actually does some non-lyric numbers.
Well, then I'll have to check it out.
I don't know if you'd like Amon Amarth.
So, I do. I just don't really own anything of theirs. I just never have gotten it.
I'll have to put some on a flash drive for you then.
Okay, that'll work. So there is a article. Okay, so for those of you that are new to our Chasing Squirrels episodes, we talk about current events. We mostly use the Wild Hunt as wildhunt.org. And they are constantly taking donations to support them because they do a lot of work for very little or no pay. They go out there, they find all the news that pertains to the pagan community and put it all in one spot. So if you can, go out and support them. They are taking donations. Please help them out. But we do use them here on Tree of Life Hour as our main source for news. So please help them out if you can. So the first article I want to discuss came out today. And it's titled, Fenced Off Tomb on the Island of Jersey Concerns Local Pagans. Now, what this is in Jersey, UK, not Jersey, United States, but Jersey, UK. Part of, and I'm going to butcher the name, part of the Poculae de Fodut. It's a 6,000-year-old Neolithic tomb on the Channel Island of Jersey, and it's been fenced off without consulting local pagans. The members of the Societe Jersey who own the site, I say the fencing is necessary in order to prevent further erosion. However, the island's pagan community have responded that this is an example of religious discrimination. So the passage grave, it's about 5 meters, which is, what, about 15 feet?
Uh-huh.
No, yeah, 3 feet and a meter, right, about? It's about 15 feet in length. It leads to a series of circular chambers and is currently estimated to date back as 3,250 to 4,000 BCE. So they've had excavations, sorry, I'll learn how to talk at some point, in 1839, 1868, and 1910 by the society, and they revealed human bones belonging to both adults and children. So, a local historian stated that it is one of 2 monuments which are aligned with the spring equinox. But there are no records existing as far as to what practices took place. And they believe that the alignment with the spring solstice probably points to rituals associated with farming and blessing the crops to be planted. It says, in the Neolithic period, dolmens and menhirs were erected across the island. And in the more modern day, stories in Pookies, fairies, are connected with many of these objects. And in fact, they say the name of the site, Pukele, or something like that, may be connected as Poukuelye. And it may be connected with the word for fairy, and it's been translated as Puck Stone. And Puck and Puka, of course, are also English words for fairy folk or particular fae. So, and it says that they've been moved by fairy magic, is the legend. So, with regards to the fencing, a lot of people are saying it would be the same as if a part of a church were undergoing damage and the section needed to be temporarily fenced off, but church goers would still have access to the church, is what the society is saying. So they're concerned about soil heaps around the passage grave, which is material removed from the original chambers, which may contain further archaeological clues about the monument's origins. And these are the areas that have been fenced off. So what the pagans are saying is that that it constitutes religious discrimination because pagans use the monument and others on Jersey for the festivals of the Eightfold Wheel, and it would have been nice to have been contacted by if they had contacted the pagan community and let someone know what they wanted to do. That it's a very natural site, and the fencing they have put up takes away from it. So I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on that being discrimination.
Right.
What do you think?
I mean, it could be. Personally, I'd like to see the excavations, like the over, you know, that pagan, there'd be a pagan group on site when the site's excavated.
Well, the site's already been excavated. They're just blocking it off to keep it from being damaged.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Stonehenge, like on winter and summer solstice, actually will, to the general public, and the only people who are allowed up there are pagans and druids. Because
right, and that's actually
something
they mentioned in the article.
You know.
Yeah, they actually mentioned in the article how archaeologists and preservation societies have had several conflicts with pagans in recent years, such as in regard to major monuments such as Stonehenge and how you said Avebury, Avebury.
Yeah, I've been to Avebury.
And that. Right, and they've come to compromises between the Stonehenge being open up on the solstice and available for use by private pagan groups.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been to both sites. I've not been to Stonehenge on the solstice, but I've been to Stonehenge. I've been to Avebury. I've also been to the Chalice Well. And, you know, the one thing about Stonehenge, you really can't get that close to the stones. But the reason they do that is because they're trying to protect the site. And so, like, the Stonehenge found a really good way to balance preserving the site for future generations versus allowing pagans to use the site. So they found a really good balance there. Now, Avebury, you can actually go right up to the stones and touch them. And I've got pictures of me touching the stones at Avebury. I mean, there's a stone there called King Arthur's Seat where you can literally just sit on. And I've actually sat on that. It's actually kind of cool. The stones themselves are actually kind of warm to touch, even on a cold day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's trippy.
Is that where the well is you had your picture taken at?
No, that's in Glastonbury. That's the guy who lasted Barry Dallas well and all that.
Okay. So I do have a feel-good story. The Wild Hunt did a story on pagans engaging in community service through Red Cross. And it starts off talking about the Amtrak train that collided head-on with the unmanned CSX train. I believe it was in... Where was it at? I remember it being on the news. I'm trying to remember where it was at. South Carolina. So it talks about Holly E. Moore, who I believe is pagan, was among the Red Cross workers from South Carolina chapter, providing comfort to the passengers, bringing food and such. She pointed out that at one point, a traditional, and she found herself wondering if the turban-wearing man whose beard was tucked into his shirt would be able to eat, because many Sikhs follow a meat-free diet, and not every Red Cross volunteer would know to ask the question. But chaplains do have some training. And it talks about how organizations at the Red Cross are always in need of volunteers, whether it be frontline relief, working with veterans, or donating blood. And it's always good to give back to the community that way. In fact, they said one senior associate for Disaster Mental Health at the American Red Cross says, if you are a human being and can pay your rent, you should be giving back to the community. I like that. So, and Morey is an executive director at Cherry Hill Seminary. So, and she was recruited into the Red Cross, and she now heads up the spiritual care program in South Carolina. And, she said she likes the Red Cross because she says that it's big and very corporate at times, but who else is there when no one else is? And then this is an organization that that's completely neutral about things which divide people. But it says as with any work with a chaplain, one's own spiritual identity is subsumed by the need to provide care to anyone who asks for it, regardless of their beliefs. Spiritual and mental health care workers are given Red Cross-specific training to tend to people in crisis and know when to refer to others. Even avowed atheists sometimes prefer spiritual support, as some people have a taboo around mental health. And they're relieved when they realize they're not trying to proselytize. And, here's a good remark. She said that a lot of people want to be the first pagan chaplain somewhere, but in reality, you'll be seen as a chaplain with a personal faith of paganism. I actually consider that a positive thing.
I actually do, too.
Because, yeah, it's nice to have pagan chaplains, but just to be a chaplain, period, is a good thing.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's a good article. See, I just don't... blood, I'm fine with... Giving blood, I'm fine with volunteering, whatever. But you always hear the horror stories about, like, donating stuff. To, you know, Red Cross. Like, that they can't use a lot of the stuff to donate because they have contracts and stuff.
Yep.
Now, do you know, is that true?
I wonder what... Honestly, I don't know much about the way that the Red Cross operates.
Well, wasn't it the Red Cross that there was rumors going around, though, about during Katrina they had gotten a lot of donations and they threw them all away?
I thought that was during Sandy.
Okay, it was during one of them in New Orleans.
It could have been. I mean, I don't really know. Like I said, I haven't talked to my friends down there in forever, so I wouldn't, you know.
So, yeah, but it talks about how the Red Cross is really, you know, accepting of pagan volunteers. So, volunteering your time and blood and stuff to the Red Cross may not be a bad idea for some organization, considering that, you know, there's not always a food pantry or anything of pagan origin. And plus, there's not any pagan groups that are going to be able to do as much as the Red Cross.
Right.
So, I mean, you hear about pagan groups doing stuff, but usually it's part of something like they are volunteering with the Red Cross or with another organization that's overseeing it. So, you want to hear what's going on in Wisconsin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Brown County Supervisor Patrick Evans submitted papers on July 30th to place a measure on November's ballot. The non-binding ballot measure would uphold a Christian-style invocation before full meetings on the Brown County Board of Supervisors. The proposed ballot measure reads, should the Brown County Board of Supervisors continue to open their monthly board meeting with a Christian-style prayer slash invocation? So the current ordinance requires that the board's vice chair open each meeting with an invocation, and Evans charged that some supervisors wanted to open the invocation process to anybody who comes in. He's reported as saying that if they are Wiccan, they pray to the devil and would invoke the Christian devil. He added, I support where we have it now, having it Christian-based. But yet he says that he based the ballot measure on tradition rather than on animist behavior toward any religion.
Huh.
It says the reaction to his proposal was swift, not supportive, and involved national civil rights organizations, including Lady of Liberty League. And as on August 1st, he announced he was withdrawing his proposal. I don't know, we keep hearing about stuff like that. People trying to make it specifically Christian. Let's see. In Dublin, Ohio, they had the annual Irish Festival last weekend and included Sunday services for attendees that were an array of different religions, including Druidry.
Really?
Yeah, so they had a Druid festival, a Druid service at the annual Irish Festival. Oh, it was broadcast live on Facebook. And it's available to watch on the Three Cranes Grove page. I might have to go watch that. Could be interesting. And give everybody a heads up, Pagan Pride events are in full swing now. So one of the biggest ones is Cleveland Pagan Pride.
Really?
What?
Cleveland
Pride, which organizers say can attract over 4,000 people each year and has raised more than 2,000 pounds of food for the local hunger center. Cleveland event, most pagan prides are over one day. Cleveland event is hosted for an entire weekend. So, if you want to go to Cleveland Pagan Pride, it's August 24th through the 22nd. And it is in Bedford, Ohio. I guess it's probably a suburb of Cleveland or something. It says Crossroad Universal, the parent organization for Cleveland Pagan Pride, also hosts the Cleveland Witches Ball in October. How far away is Cleveland from Louisville? It's a while. It takes a little bit of a drive, isn't it?
About 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours.
I guess it wouldn't be too bad if you're going for a weekend, but just going for a day, that doesn't really work out, does it? So, let's see what else is going on. Let's see, the new Alexandrian Library was. Got books from the Theosophical Society of Washington, D.C., including four decades of bound volumes of Theosophist magazine dating to 1901.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's a nice donation of books and magazines.
Uh-huh.
But I said about 20% of the new Alexandrian Library's 30,000 books have been cataloged. They said plans are being made to scan and digitize the content of as many of those books as possible to make them available online. And then there's another Adocentan Research Library.
Uh-huh.
Which is similar to the new Alexandrian Library. It's located in San Francisco. Has about 12,209 books cataloged. It has 12,209 books cataloged on its website, detailed database, and many more boxes are waiting for processing. Neither library is opened officially, but holdings of each can currently be perused free on site by making an appointment. So I think we need to make a road trip to the new Alexandria Library.
Okay.
It's in Delaware. We should go.
I'm trying to figure out how to get.
Didn't they get a bunch of the books from the community center in Washington D.C. that closed?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Like, they got, the whole library from the community center.
Mm-hmm.
They have, let's see, oh, this is cool. Indocenton, that library, they have a 1936 edition of The Equinox of the Gods by Aleister Crowley.
Oh.
And a 1692 text by Philippus van Limborg.
Oh,
I don't know who that is, but the date just sounded cool. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I've heard the name before, so I don't know who that person is, but I've heard the name before.
The Andersington Research Library is hoping that they officially open before PanTheacon in February 2019. They're nearby to where PanTheacon is. We still want to go to that, too, right?
Yeah, I still want to go to PanTheacon.
Because that's all the way in California. Look, here we are talking about how long a drive it is to Cleveland, and PanTheacon's, like, all the way in California.
We'd have to fly out there.
So, it looks like there's a pretty good article in the Wild Hunt about Mystic South, if anybody wants to read about what happened. So, I haven't had a chance to read the article, so I guess I'm going to go back and read it.
Yeah, I've heard good things about what went down at Mystic South this year, so.
I mean, I heard good things last year, too, so, I mean, I guess eventually we're going to have to take our butts down to Atlanta, too.
Right.
We know enough people down there that it should be good. We should be good. I mean, well, no, we don't know enough people in Atlanta, but we know enough people that are involved in the Big South.
Who knows? Maybe we'll put, that's one that's actually done in a hotel, so we might actually be able to broadcast from there.
Yeah, as long as the air conditioning doesn't go out like it did last year. But it was handled really well by Mystic South and the hotel itself. So,
right.
So, and that's probably why it's growing so well, too, is because it's not an outdoor festival. It's a convention in a hotel, which is, besides PantheaCon and what's the one in Michigan? Those are only the only two that I know of. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but those are the only two big ones I know of.
Oh, what's the other one? What's the one in Michigan?
PaganaCon or something like that?
Yeah, PaganaCon. Yeah, that's the one in Michigan.
So I only know of the three that are in hotels, counting Mystic South. I'm not sure there's any others. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's some smaller ones, but those are the only three I know about. The Pagan Alliance of South Australia recently ceased to operate as an incorporated association, citing a significant drop in the membership and financial difficulties as a reason for the decision.
Hmm.
It says, with the Tasmanian branch of the Pagan Alliance facing similar issues, to end an end to this organization once a nationwide cornerstone of the Australian pagan community is becoming increasingly likely after almost 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was found in 1991 at the height of the Satanic Panic, partly as a response to the widespread fear-mongering and misinformation about paganism during that period. There's a lot of organizations going under here lately. It's like a lot of pagans are stepping away from organized groups, which is really sad because you still hear pagans saying that they want the benefits of organized groups in communities, but then they're not supporting them.
Well, I mean, you're seeing the same thing on the heathen end of the spectrum too, though. But we've got splits left, right, and center for several different things. We've got the split over universal focus. There's the Nazi, non-Nazi split. There is the AFA and those buttholes. Don't get me started on Stephen McNaughton. But it just seems like every time, like, the heathen groups keep splintering for some reason. And usually it's the further right heathen groups, like, you know, you've got Wolves of Vinland. They're starting to go to the right of the AFA, and then there's a group that's gone to the right of Wolves of Vinland, and then there's another group out there trying to go to the right, even further right of the group that's going to the right of Wolves of Vinland. I mean, that's kind of the fun stuff that we've got going on in the heathen community. And then, you know, some of the bigger orgs like the Troth are having a hard time with getting funding and membership and that type of stuff. And then the other split is Reconstructionist versus non-Reconstructaire. And the problem is, it's like everybody's just, I've noticed a lot of people are too busy arguing in their own little camp to kind of sit down and be like, okay, what do we have in common? Except for the Nazis. The Nazis are not welcome anywhere near me.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing, though, how people want to argue over their differences and so what they have in common within the same paths.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's always splitting. It's like there's always one group splitting off another, splitting off another, splitting off another, splitting off another. You know, and paganism were so small. Like, you know, the two main, I'm just going to kind of put it this way. The two main, like, lines of paganism is Wicca and Ossetru, or heathenry. And then you start going down those two branches, and, I mean, they're split left, right, and center. And this group ain't talking to that group, and that group ain't talking to this group, and you know, there's all these different arguments and stuff, and some of it is we're kind of too small of a community to be backbiting like that.
Right. We should be doing more stuff together instead of against each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I know a lot of Wiccans out there see heathens as kind of scary people, but then again, there's a lot of heathens, and I'm not saying every heathen, because I don't subscribe to this belief myself, that Wiccans are fluffy bunnies. And it's like, okay, you know, we're both minority religions, we're both earth-based traditions, we're both, you know, trying to reestablish folkways and stuff based off of ancient traditions, you know. We're just kind of using a different set of deities here. Why are we not getting along? Like, okay,
right.
You know, it's like, okay, you're going to do your circle. You're going to do your stuff the way you do it. I'm going to do my stuff the way I do it. But yet there's some commonalities there that we can kind of come together and work on. And we still have a lot of that in all the communities. And honestly, for me, it's just something that totally gets on my nerves. And then not only that, but the other thing we have in the community is that, you know, and I'm probably going on a little bit of a rant here. We also have a problem with issues of consent and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, where people's boundaries are, where to draw boundaries, stuff like that, and we kind of have an issue with that in the community as well. And I'm just saying just pagan community in general. I'm not saying whichever specific group.
Okay, where's the University of Oxford?
In the UK?
That's what I thought. Because they have a really cool thing going on right now.
Huh?
Ashmolean, the Museum of Art and Archaeology at the University of Oxford, is hosting a witchcraft exhibit beginning August 31st. Explore the history of magic over 8 centuries in this immersive and thought-provoking exhibition. The intriguing objects on display show how our ancestors used magical thinking to cope with unpredictable world around them. The exhibition asks us to examine our own beliefs and rituals and aims to show how even in this skeptical age, we still use magical thinking and why we might need a bit of magic in our lives. It's called Spellbound and runs from August 31st to January 6th. Now we need to go to UK. Right.
Yeah, the only thing is neither one of us can afford plane tickets to go hopping the pond.
No, I know.
But I think it's funny.
Oh, God, I wish they would make that. They need to make that exhibit travel. They need to send it to the U.S.
Exactly.
We need to take a break. It's actually past time to take a break. Take a break, and then we can come back and talk about what the Satanic Temple is doing now.
Those guys are great.
There's some good people over there.
They are really sticking it to some people.
Yeah. So I'm going to play, let's play, how about, I'm going to play some Stooge, some S.J. Tucker. How's that sound?
That sounds fine.
Let's play Mirror Self. I don't think I've heard this one. I'd like to hear it, see what it's about. So here is S.J. Tucker, and it's called Mirror Self, and we will be back in a few moments. If it'll play. Samara, I am trying to get this music to play. I promise. My board is kind of frozen, so I don't even know if you all can hear me or not. The music, no music is playing. So I brought you back over.
Sorry,
I'm going to reload the
one.
Board. I can mute us. I can put us in the queue. I can do all that. But when I try to hit play on any of the music, it does nothing.
Well, should we talk about what's going on with the Satanic Temple while you're trying to get a song loaded?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm reloading the page. So the Satanic Temple has announced the colossal Baphomet statue that they were building they originally built for the Oklahoma State House when they put up the Ten Commandments monument. It's currently in Michigan, but it will be traveling to Arkansas August 16th. The legislature has erected a Ten Commandments statue on the state ground.
Yep.
So the Satanic Temple has been pretty much making it a traveling statue at each place that a monument has been put up. So they've been using the same tactic to force Arkansas to remove its biblical-based monument. However, the Arkansas State Legislature has not complied, and therefore the Baphomet statue is being sent to the Little Rock. The Satanic Temple is raising money for the trip. So contact the Satanic Temple if you are support of them. They might need the money.
Well, and I'm actually looking at their page right now. They actually went over the amount of money they needed to do this, so good for them.
Oh, okay. Yes, because they are probably getting donations left and right, even from Christians that don't agree with it.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, people hear Satanic Temple and they kind of flip out. But actually, here's the thing, the Satanic Temple, most of the members of that group are atheists. They're actually rather hardcore atheists. Their big thing is they want the separation of church and state as written in the Constitution to stay. That's why they started their after school Satan program and all this other stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to try to play music again real quick. So I'm going to try to play SJ Tiger and Mirror Self again. So here we go. I'm going to hit play.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
Mirror Self, reflect my face. Hear my words, take my place. Breath and blood will make you whole. You have my heart. And I, my soul, mirror self, reflect my face. Hear my words, take my place. Breath and Lord will make you whole. Take my heart and leave my soul. Between the world self, to soul, and in hand, it's time to go. Never fear, my miracle. Step by step, between the world.
this is Raven Fire Doll of the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
And we are back. And this is Samara Luna.
And this is Raven Doll.
And we are doing our Chasing Squirrels episode, and we have kind of been all over the place tonight.
Yep.
So you might find this interesting, because I know you like archaeology, especially in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know how, like, they've had a lot of hot weather outside of what they're used to?
Uh-huh.
And I know this because there's a makeup artist I watched that was in the UK, and he's awesome, but he doesn't have air conditioning, so when he does his makeup look, sometimes it's really hard because he's sweating and stuff, and I feel sorry for him, because most people in the UK don't have air conditioning, because it doesn't usually get that hot. So, but it's been getting hot this year, and they've been having a drought with the unusually prolonged hot weather. And because of that, and also developments in aerial technology, there's an unexpected benefit for those interested in archaeology. The desiccation of the landscape has led to discovery of a number of ancient earthworks. So,
really?
How this happens is like there's ditches or where the soil has filled in ditches and different stuff, the outlines and you know, different places where the ground was hollow. And it holds moisture more in those areas because usually there's stone or something around it. And because it holds that moisture more, the plants don't die. The greenery doesn't die as quickly. So everything around it is dying except for these outlines. So so they say the crop that grows in the archaeological features is getting a tiny bit more moisture than the surrounding crop, so it looks greener and more vibrant. The result is that you see an imprint or a footprint of the monument on the top of the crop. And they haven't had drought conditions like this in Ireland since 1976, and there weren't drones to photograph stuff, and very few people looked at archaeology from the air. Nowadays, aerial photography and imaging is a very significant part of archaeological investigation. So they've been able to spot outlines of the Iron Age fort of Girfar, along with Roman or Iron Age settlements. These sites were already known, but Girfar has not been seen for 30 years, and the Aerial Commission has also made new discoveries. A prehistoric or Roman farm near Newport and a small Roman fort near Mager, the fortifications of the hill fort of Cross Oak at Talibont on Usk have also been revealed. So they say there's currently no plans to excavate. So many new features have been revealed this summer that the priority at present remains that of mapping the landscape while the hot weather lasts.
Hmm.
So, and COFLEIN, COFLEIN, the online database of the National Monuments Record of Wales, has added sites which are only visible in the dry weather. But it says it's not just Wales that is benefiting from the recent heat-related revelations. Ireland, too, has seen a discovery of previously unknown monuments, including a henge only 1 kilometer from the megalithic site of Newgrange and dating from an estimated 5,000 years ago. Murphy discovered this landmark while flying a drone on the Boyne Valley. We didn't initially know exactly what it was, but we suspected it was a hinge or enclosure. Because there are several in the immediate vicinity. As soon as we landed, we sent some images to archaeologists, and they were immediately very excited that we had what we had discovered. The monument consists of a ring of double ditches plus a causeway with its pits and post holes around its edge and an entrance. And it says, the discovery is the latest in a series of recently discovered monuments in the 1.6-kilometer stretch of County Meath. And it is, in fact, the seventh, making this part of ancient Ireland exceptionally rich in earthworks and thus an interest to archaeologists and pagans alike. That is really cool. So there's going to be, like, probably more pagan sites and stuff that are going to be known about now just because of the weather.
Right.
It'll be neat if they ever start to actually do an archaeological dig at any of these.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested, if anybody out there is interested, the database is at www.cofflein.gov.uk.
Right, this year in Louisville.
Let me double check the exact date.
Because I don't think
for anyone interested. Well, Lady Vanessa has been announcing it pretty much since last year when she's on sometimes. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I appreciate her announcing it. Like, since they took the date, I think she's pretty much announced it whenever she's been on. Well, except for the last couple times she hasn't been able. She hasn't. Well, not mm-hmm. that she hasn't been able to, but she's had other things to talk about. Oh, they changed the layout of the page since the last time I was on here. September 8th, 2018. So September 8th is when it will be. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm probably not going to be vending this year,
yeah,
but I will
birthday.
Be there. Yeah, so what? Yeah. I'll actually be attending as an attendee this year and actually able to enjoy it more.
You know, that's what I'm doing this year, too. If I go. I mean...
I might have to see if someone will put out some flyers for our radio show, but other than that, probably just going to be as an attendee, because I'm probably, even though I have lots of inventory I could sell, I just don't think I'm going to have the time to get it all together and get a booth and everything, because with doing grad, you know, all that grad school stuff.
Right.
But for those interested, that will be here at Louisville, Kentucky, at Brown-Forman Amphitheater, which is down on the river. Beautiful spot. We pretty much had it there. Like, the first couple years, we had it on the riverfront, but ever since then, we've been at Brown-Forman Amphitheater.
Right. That's a really good place, so.
Yes, I'm trying to see what year this will be. Let's see. They used to have a thing that said every year what year, you know, how many years it's been. But I think this is, I'm not sure. I'm trying to see if there's a date that we started listed somewhere. But I don't see one. But if anybody wants to volunteer or also contact them for vending, you can go to LouisvillePaganPride.org and fill out one of the vending applications. They used to do free vending as long as it was a nonprofit book too. So as long as you weren't selling anything, you could do your booth for free. So I haven't heard anything different. So, but that doesn't mean they haven't changed it, because I'm not involved on the board anymore. But I still love everyone on the board. So I just ran out of time. to do anything. So let's see. It is about it is time for us to do upcoming events. So trying to my Facebook app isn't wanting to cooperate with me. So as far as next week, everyone, I might I actually haven't planned anything yet, so I might see if I can get a couple people from different pagan prides to come on and talk about their pagan prides they're doing. Which means I'll have to start messaging people as soon as the radio, as soon as we're done tonight. So that I can get everyone, at least get, you know, get people a little bit of advance notice. Hey, you want to come on? It's next week. So as far as upcoming events, today, let's see, today through through Sunday is the Off the True Community Festival in Springville, Indiana at Midian Festivals and Events. I'm not sure if they are doing tickets at the door, but they only had 350 tickets that were being sold. I don't see anything about buying tickets at the door. So if you want to check it out, go to the offthetruecommunity.org/join. You should be able to see if they have any tickets available at the door or not. So but that's something that's going on this weekend. Let's see, Sunday, August 12th at 11 a.m., is the Gardenerian Wicca meet and greet at Heine Brothers Coffee Schnitzelberg in Louisville, Kentucky. Then Tuesday, August 14th, is the August PAC, Pagan Alliance of Kentuckiana meeting here in Louisville, Kentucky at the Denny's on Eastern Parkway. Ravenfire and I are discussing possibly showing up. So if you're local and you want to come meet us, we might be there. We have not set that in stone. Throwing it out there, though, that we might be there.
All right.
So, let's see. Calling in the Healers Ritual with Adam Sartwell at Moth and Moon Studio in Bedford, New Hampshire. Tickets are available at mothandmoonstudio.com. Appalachian Folk Magic Class with Papa G at Aroma Gregory Company in Nashville, Tennessee. That is Saturday, August 18th, 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you're interested, there is a Louisville Water Lantern Festival at Louisville Waterfront Park here in Louisville, Kentucky. More information is available at louisvillelanternfestival.com. You can get tickets there. It's not really a pagan event, but a lot of pagans, I figured, will be interested. Let's see, Sunday, August 19th, Manifesting 101 with Lisa Wagner at Asheville Raven and Crone in Asheville, North Carolina. That's Sunday, August 19th, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Thursday, August 23rd, Temple Fest 2018 begins. That's through the 26th. And that says Nature's Classroom at Sargent Center in Hancock, New Hampshire. It's the Temple of Witchcraft annual summer weekend celebration. 30 workshops, panel discussions, children's activities, keynote talks by Courtney Weber and Christopher Penzack, who is amazing, does amazing workshops.
He really does.
So if you get... Yeah, he really does. So if you get a chance to see him, please go. Also, the 24th through the 26th is Midian's 2018 Women's Goddess Retreat, the 24th through the 26th. Tickets are available at asteriabooks.com. It is their 10th annual Women's Goddess Retreat. Let's see, also at Friday, August 24th at 5 p.m., so the 24th through the 26th, Valhalla, a Warrior Skills Festival. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. Is it something about tomato farm? I don't know. But it says workshops happening during the daylight, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday include spear throwing, archery, knife throwing, balearic sling. Did I say that right? Tomahawk, shield, whip, and axe. They do ask that you remain sober for the workshops. Camping is included with $40 admission. So I guess it's not specifically a pagan event, but I'm sure there will be lots of pagans there. Also that weekend, Saturday, August 25th, is the Full Moon Market at Extraordinary Circle in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am going to go, I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to stop there. So that is all the events coming up. I'll try to see if I can get people from different pagan prides to come on next week. Yeah, I guess that's all for tonight.
Yeah.
So, Ravenfire, is there any specific song you want to listen to in closing?
No, I'll leave that up to you.
Because you haven't been on in a little bit to pick a song, so.
I don't know. It's all good.
How about Mama Gina? Here's a song. It's called Sisters Waiting. Don't know what it's about, but it sounds cool. So this is how I hear all my new music. It's from Pagans Tonight.
And y'all be safe out there. We'll see you next week.
Yes, everyone have a... Oh, sorry. And everyone have a blessed evening, and we will talk to you next week.
Sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. The veil is thin and the body is tied. Sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. The veil is thin and the body is tied. Sisters waiting on the other side. Children, they will come and they will go. Children, they will come and they will grow. We give them life and then we let them go. Sisters waiting on the other side. Mother holds you while you're in this world. Mother holds you. Grandmother's wisdom's all we need to know. As she passes, so we all will go. Sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. The veil is thin and the body the red-tailed hawk, the butterfly. The owl, the red-tailed hawk, the butterfly. The journey is long and you have wings to try. And sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side. The red-tailed hawk, the butterfly. The owl, the red-tailed hawk, the butterfly. The journey's long and you have wings to try. And sisters waiting on the other side. Sisters waiting on the other side.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.